Monday morning, and we're having a conversation, and I'm sitting there at my desk thinking, why is this guy so mad at me? I don't know what I've done. And so I prayed about it all day Monday and just kind of went home, and I told Carla, I said, you know, this guy's mad at me. I have no clue what I've done. And she goes, of course, your wife wouldn't do this. Well, did you ask him? Well, no, I didn't ask him. I'm trying to figure it out for myself instead of, you know. So long story short, the next day I said, hey, do you have a few minutes we can talk? We sit down and talk, and he goes, I'm not angry at you. I'm angry at this situation. And as we talked through the situation, I said, can we join arms and go impact the kingdom? Because I'm angry about the same things you're angry about. And it had nothing to do with me. How often do we do that? We take on an offense, or we feel like an offense has been done. We don't deal with that offense at all. And then we don't talk through. And now instead of still sitting here on Thursday morning wondering why this guy's mad at me, we locked arms. And I've already seen, out of that discussion, I've already seen the kingdom impacted because we sat down and did that. Now, I'm not bragging on myself because it's a miracle I did it right before God had to knock me with the two before, which is normally what happens. And so all that happens Monday, and then I go home Monday night, and I'm telling Carla this story and all. And my brother-in-law calls. Well, most of y'all don't know, but when after my mom and dad passed away, my brother-in-law turned on me, and he's not a Christian, and he's acting in the true nature of who he is. Okay, he's not a Christian. But one night, he got a hold of me and just cussed me out, told me I was the lowest thing that ever walked the face of the earth and so forth. And then the next day, he texted, hey, I'm sorry for what I did. And we haven't talked in 6 months. He called me, and he said, you answered my phone call. And I said, yes. I wouldn't have answered my phone call after what I did to you. And I said, well, that's ancient history. What's going on? Like, I know you called me, which means my sister is probably in the hospital. So let's get to the conversation. But it's just a reminder of God saying, life's too short to not forgive people. People are going to hurt you. And that's what we're going to talk about today, about the hurt. But we've been talking about full circle manhood, supper on the board, that, you know, we can choose to be resentful and forgetful and destroy, and we form that cycle of death, and we get it caught in that spiral, and we spiral, and we spiral, and we lose hope. Or we can choose to repent, to forgive, to restore, and get back in God's design of how he created us to be, and we find that cycle of life. And then last week, Daniel spoke on the path of rationalization and path of recognition. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good at rationalization. I can go in and say, you know what? I worked hard and I saved this. I was going to pay someone to do this, and I saved this money and I did this. So Carla, I can really explain to you why we actually saved money for me to go over here and buy this new fly rod. Now, it never works on her, but it works in my brain. I'm good at rationalization, but when we rationalize, we're not dealing with our issues. And we're not repenting, and we're not owning what we've done. And so he talked to us about, instead of rationalization, going to realization and a recognition, and recognizing who we are, what we've done, taking ownership of that, and moving forward. And the next step of that is to forgive quickly. And as I've been talking about that, I know that's hard to do. So around your tables to get us started, I want you to talk about areas that you struggle forgiving in. I'm going to give you some examples. If you've been around Tim Skaggs very long, you bound to have heard this statement. You can do anything you want to me, and I'll forgive you. I don't care. But you hurt one of my grandkids, and it's going to be on. So I'm not putting this on him, but he might say from that conversation that the struggle I would have in forgiving someone is if you hurt one of my grandkids. I worked with another guy that you could say anything to his face, and he didn't care unless there was other people around. If he felt like you embarrassed him, then that was the unforgivable sin, and you were in huge trouble if you did that. So quickly around your table, what are the areas in your life that you struggle forgiving people in? Does that make sense? Let's take about 3 minutes and talk about that around our tables. Okay, for the sake of time, let's gather back up. And probably many of y'all's discussions were like some of ours. There's, you hurt my wife, you hurt my kids, you hurt, you know, and I even have to admit that there's times Carla says, I've moved past this, and I've forgiven them. And I said, I haven't. And she said, well, that's not right. And I can say, I know I'm not right, but, you know. So we all have those areas we're struggling. But this morning, I just want to talk a little bit about forgiveness, why it's important that we forgive quickly, and the cost of not doing it. So Sin is costly. Sin creates a debt in our relationship. It creates that debt with God, and it creates that debt with each other. There's a debt there, and where there's a debt, the debt has to be paid, right? And so, thankfully, we have to balance these relationships. We have to make up for the losses, which is amends, and we have to give a repayment, our claim, which is forgiveness. So next week, we're going to talk more about restoring relationships and what that looks like. But in the forgiveness part of it, we don't come into this blindly. We have a path. We have a Savior who's shown us how to forgive. In Colossians 2:13-14, said, "And you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made alive together with Christ, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, and this he set aside, nailing it to the cross." So our sin created a debt. God has forgiven us that debt on the cross, didn't he? Okay? Did he say, "I'm going to forgive you that debt when you deserve it? When you earn it? When you've done the right things? When you've done step 1, 2, 3, is that what he says? That he says, if I accept him as my Savior, that debt is removed from me totally. Now, how many of you are glad that we serve a God that that's how he operates? Okay. So Ephesians 4:32-5:1 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." So we know how God forgave us, right? Unconditional forgave us. Didn't wait for me to deserve it. Didn't wait for me to say something. And then he goes on from that into Ephesians. He says, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So what does that mean? Does God really expect me to forgive you in the same way he forgave me? Okay, and we don't have any problem with that, right, guys? We don't hold unforgiveness in our heart. We don't struggle with that. We look at Jesus and say, "Man, Jesus, thank you for being the perfect example. I'm going to live just like you, and I'm not going to hold on to things." Or do we say, "God, I'm afraid sometimes." I'll just be honest. I'll change this. There's times in my life I go, "God, I'm so thankful you've forgiven me. And, man, I'm not sure you forgive Billy Bob over here." And then when I say that, it's absurd. We laugh because that's absurd. But do we live our lives that way? We tend to live our lives, "I deserve forgiveness, but someone else doesn't deserve forgiveness." Jesus tells us that we all. So forgiveness is a transfer of justice to God, a vertical transaction. This was very difficult for me to grab a hold of when I was first studying forgiveness and trying to work through this. We were talked about in Stakeout that it's that letting go. Am I willing to take the pain that's happened to me? Someone's hurt me. Am I willing to take that and hand it to God? And say, "God, this is yours, not mine. I trust this with you. I'm going to let go of it. I'm not going to pick it back up." Because again, guys, how many of us have done this? "Here you go, God. I'm giving you my hurt. Okay, God, it's been 24 hours and you haven't dealt with it, so maybe you need my help. I'm going to pick it back up. Oh, okay, I'm convicted, God. I'm going to hand it back to you. Okay, God, it's been 3 days now. I'm really being patient. I'm going to pick it back up because you're not doing..." We do that, don't we, with forgiveness. And we need to hand it to God, open our hands up, leave it with him, and move on. It's very much a vertical transaction. "God, this is yours. It's not mine to deal with." So our question is, if you trusted Christ, accepted that Christ's suffering was sufficient to pay your debt of sin, have you also considered Christ's suffering as sufficient payment of the debt of the sins against you? So I did set you up with a question. Are you glad that God forgave you and there's no conditions? But does that apply to everybody in your life? And if not, we got a theological problem we probably need to stop and talk about if we don't. Because that applies to everybody. And if I believe that, then shouldn't I trust them back in God's hands? And let's be honest, does God know how to deal with the situation better than you do? Have you ever had the conversation with someone and you go, man, that this person's just grumpy today, and I'm just not going to put up with them. And then you talk to them, and they got major crisis going on in their lives, and there's a reason why they're struggling, and I should be ministering to them instead of turning against them. Shouldn't I give people the benefit of the doubt and hand them back to God and say, God, show me how to minister to this person? I'm hoping, my brother-in-law is Bruce. Bruce is the one I put on the board last year to pray for. His name is going to be the one I put on the board this year to pray for. I'm praying somehow, some way, I get an opportunity to share Christ with him again. Because through burying my parents, he wanted nothing to do with the church, with what I had to share. He wouldn't even come when the pastor came to the house to talk to us. He's a closed door. But he's still alive. Forgiveness is still offered to him. And so I'm just praying that somehow, in God's perfect timing, he had me studying forgiveness when he calls me for the first time in 6 months, that it was real easy for me to be very nice on the phone to him, and I hope that opens doors. Because I hope I live by this truth, that what God's given me, he's given to everybody, and I should be able to do that. Christ's blood covered all sins, yours and their sins, everyone's sin. And so to think that they owe you something, they don't. They owe God something, and God's already taken care of that. They don't owe you because they've hurt you. For non-Christians who have hurt you, our thought should be, will they become a Christian? You know, not this person in his loss has hurt me and he deserves my punishment back. My number one concern should be, how can I continue to share Christ with this person? I don't want to, no matter what they do to me, and again, it's an example of Jesus. What did Jesus do on the cross? Forgive them. The very people who are killing him, he forgives. He shows us that example. He expects us to do the same thing. Our priority has to be, will they become a Christian? How can I share the gospel with them? And the other side of that, if a person hurts, a long Christian hurts me, and they never become a Christian, I share with them and they reject, am I okay that the punishment they're going to face, because we serve a holy God where there is a real hell, and if they reject God, they're going to live eternity in hell. Isn't that enough punishment without me trying to punish them for something that they did to me? Isn't that enough? Doesn't God really have this in mind, what he's doing, and he doesn't need my help other than he asked me to share the gospel with them? Colossians 3, 12 through 13 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has complained against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. It's commanded over and over and over in Scripture. And I have watched too many times in the church that something happens and we get in a situation where we refuse to forgive a brother or sister in our church. And that always hampers ministry when we do that. And we're clearly commanded. This isn't some, you can't take this passage here, the three that we've read, and say, well, I think Randy's misinterpreting them. I think it's pretty clear. God expects us to forgive others as he has forgiven us. There's times we're going to rub each other the wrong way. I guarantee you that's going to happen. Is that going to become such an offense that it harms the spread of the gospel? Or are we going to deal with that issue the way God showed us how? And we're going to go to that brother, and we're going to deal with this situation. And even if they don't, even if they say, you know what? I slapped you in the face and give me three chances, I'll slap you three more times. I still can forgive that person and move on with my ministry as opposed to harboring what will soon become bitterness. And we homeschooled our kids, and I was walking through the house one day listening. We did video homeschool. And my oldest son, Wes, was doing Bible class, and there's two things the Bible teacher taught that I still remember, but the one of them on bitterness was, and I know y'all have heard this before, but to me it's so vivid because in counseling I see it all the time. Bitterness is me drinking poison and waiting for that person to die. That's how absurd bitterness is. Because, again, a lot of times, we're talking at our table. A lot of times we get mad and bitter at somebody, then we go talk to them. They have no clue what we're even talking about. They don't even remember the situation. And so bitterness just kills us. And it's not how God designed us to be. He's designed us to forgive. and get back on the first things. And the first things are spreading the gospel and impacting the kingdom. Hebrews 10:30-31 says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." That's obviously not part of that verse. Isn't that verse true? That God says vengeance is his? And that if I will turn that person to them, to God, and say, here, he knows what to do. And as hard as this sounds, it took me a long time to make this connection, but y'all aren't as slow as I am. When I learned this concept, I was really good over here. And then one day God said, you know, Randy, all those things I've been teaching you, that applies between you and Carla too. And I'm going, but God, I really think Carla needs my help and understanding. And he goes, I really don't think she does. I love her more than you do. And I really think I can help her more than you can help her. Will you pray for her? Will you be the example to her? Will you forgive her? Will you do the same things you've been doing over here, but will you do that in your homes? And when I did that finally, and it took me a while to get there, the environment in my house changed. Because I quit viewing her as, I'll be glad when she comes back and apologizes and grovels back, and I'm going to be gracious when she finally does that and love her again, to saying, I love you no matter what you do, because that's how my God loves me. And I'm willing to do that with my wife. I'm willing to do that with anyone who comes into my life. So reasons why we don't forgive. Okay, let's be honest. If we had time to go around the room and I asked, why do you struggle forgiving? These are some of the things that have popped up. Number one, excusing sin. I feel like, well, if I forgive you, I'm going to pick on Steve because Steve's never done anything to me in the whole 22 years I've known Steve. So I'm going to pick on Steve. If Steve did something to me and I just forgive him, then I can justify to myself, well, then I'm just excusing his sin and he's not going to pay the consequences of his sin. How many of y'all have ever thought that? Okay, there's a few honest ones in here. Thank you. Whose job is it to take care of their sin? God's. You ever sinned, thought no one knew that you sinned, and then God hit you between the eyes and took care of that sin? God's pretty faithful. If we're walking with him and we have a relationship with him, he'll take care of the sin. He doesn't need someone else's help. Have you ever been in the situation where someone came and said, I'm going to help you realize how terrible your sin is in your life? You ever been around that kind of person? You know? The Holy Spirit is very sufficient at doing that in my life. Now, helping me to see sin in my life I don't see, I think, is important, and that's a different lesson. So, excusing sin. Freeing the guilty of a demand for justice. We struggle with that. Well, if I forgive them, then there was no demand for justice, and they got to pay for what they did, and God will see to it that they pay for what they did in his way and in his time, my struggle. Because I'm real patient now. I can wait a week sometimes for God to take care of the situation before I feel like he needs my help. No, his justice is his. It's not mine. He'll take care of that. Denying the hurt or stuff in your anger. I know there's no men in here who do that, right? There's no guys that's going to say, well, they hurt me. So I'm just going to pretend like they didn't hurt me, and I'm going to go on, and I'm not going to deal with this. Anybody besides me ever done that? Okay. What does that normally do? Yeah. We don't like it in reverse. How many of y'all have ever did what really was a little minor thing, and your wife is so mad at you and brings up things you've done for the last 10 years? And I'm thinking here, and I'm sitting there going, all I did was forget to unload the dishwasher. I mean, you know. And the next thing I know, there's 10 years of you didn't unload the dishwasher. 3 weeks ago, you didn't take out the trash. 6 months ago, and my wife is not like that. That's actually, to be total honesty, that's actually us in reverse. I'm the one that will do, well, Carla, you did this. And she goes, man, I have no clue what you're talking about. What do you mean you don't have a clue what we're talking about? We were sitting at this table. We were eating this food. That's me. I hate being that way, but I'm just being honest. But we do that, don't we? We do that at times. We can't deny our anger because it will come out eventually. We got to be honest. It's the same way, we'll get there in a minute. We got to acknowledge our anger, deal with that anger. I have to literally in my mind now, because I'm a visual person, I literally see myself, God, please take this because I don't have the ability to carry this. And I visually see myself handing it to God now and saying, okay, God, this is yours. It's not mine. I'm moving on because you will deal with it better than I will, and I trust you to do that. A feeling or a conditional, again, we talked about that. Just forgetting. Again, how many of you have ever been accused, well, if we don't talk about this now, you'll conveniently forget and we'll never talk about it? You ever heard those words? Okay. Yeah, forgetting doesn't work either. You need to be able to work through the process. We don't trust them, so we don't forgive them. Okay, and again, I can forgive someone. I can even restore my relationship with someone without becoming best friends again with someone. And we'll talk about that next week. But trusting them, and they're dependent upon something, someone making amends or reconciling with you. And this is, man, this was me for so many years. If you just show me 1 ounce that you feel bad for what you did, I can move on with this. But you're going to have to take a step. And God says, man, I'm glad. Again, God reminds me that that's not how he approached me. And so, depending on someone making amends or reconciling with you, we have to take the lead. What was that first thing we learned back week one that Philip reminded us of? It's not your fault, but it's your responsibility. It's your responsibility in your homes to show a pattern of forgiving quickly. Because your wife and your children will follow what they see in you. And if they see you not forgiving, they're going to struggle forgiving. And so this is dependent on you, and your family is dependent on you modeling this well. Okay? And just one area I want to touch on just a little bit, because if you're talking about forgiveness, let's be true. Sometimes we have trouble forgiving God. Man, we live in a broken world, and bad things happen. Bad things I don't understand. And I think I shared a couple of Wednesday nights ago. When I was about, I don't know, about 30 and Carla was about 28, Carla's mom died in a horse riding accident. She was just riding her horse, which was her passion, riding through a creek on the other side. The horse had a heart attack going up the other side, fell over backwards, and her and the horse died side by side there in the bottom of that creek. She was the only, at that time, the only Christian grandparents my kids had. And I can't tell you how many times I shook my fist at God. I tried not to do it around Carla. I tried not to do it around my kids. But I'm honest with you. I shook my fist at God and said, God, why did you take the only Christian grandparents my kids had? They don't have another Christian grandparent that's going to pour into their lives. You took the only one. And I was angry. And God, it probably took me a year or two to work through that anger. And God finally said, I got this. I know what I'm doing. Just be patient. You know, And then through the years, I watched both of my parents get saved and Carla's stepdad begin to pour into my kid's life and as a Christian. And God had a plan all along, but I really wrestle with that. So sometimes we have to just step back and say, God, you're God and I'm not. And what's happening doesn't make sense, but I trust you. And there's not really anything we can do. I don't think we'll understand. I don't think most of us will understand this side of heaven why some things happen. But we can't hold that against God. And we ask ourselves that question, why would a perfect, loving, just God allow my suffering? He has a plan. I don't understand it. You may not understand it, but I trust in my God. And that's a hard lesson that I've had to learn. God never guarantees innocent people won't suffer evil. He doesn't guarantee that. Man chose, not God, man chose to sin in the garden, bring sin into this world, and our world has been harmed by sin from that day forward to where even our world groans because of the sin. Even nature groans because of sin and the effect that it's had on us. But a fallen world plus free will equals sin, pain, and injustice. It's just our reality. But it doesn't change who our loving God is. And then some of you may be sitting here and said, I can't forgive myself. And this is, and the people that I've witnessed to through my life, these are the people that I have the hardest time getting to understand the gospel, and they'll say, I believe God saves. I believe God's real. I believe Jesus came and died on the cross, but I don't think he can forgive me because you don't know the things I've done. You've met people like that? And we may even have someone like that here today that really struggles with, but can God forgive me? Are there any qualifiers? If we went back through all those verses, let's just go back to our favorite verse of John 3:16. Does it say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that all those except for that have committed these three sins, Is that what he says? No. He says he forgives all of us. And sometimes we're going to be doing some, and I don't know of a better word. I know we're not supposed to use this word, but we're going to be, there's times you're going to be extremely stupid. You're going to do some extremely stupid things. People are going to look at you, hopefully, and tell you you're stupid and what you did to catch your attention, to wake you up from what you're doing. But that doesn't mean God's not standing there and saying, I'm ready to forgive you. We watched it. Peter's the perfect example as we walk through the Gospels of Peter, you know, basically, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Oh, wait a minute, God, you, or Jesus, you don't know what you're doing. Let me tell you, you can't go to the cross and you can't do this, you know. And yet, God, how many times does Jesus keep coming back to Peter? You're going to deny me. No, I'm not. I would never deny you. I would die. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. He denies him. Then he meets him on the shore and says, what? Do you love me? Go feed my sheep. I have a purpose for you. Who preached at Pentecost? He didn't pick someone out saying, Peter, you sinned 72 and a half times. You're done. He didn't say that. He said, you come back to me. I'm forgiving you, and I got purpose for you. And so we've got to learn to forgive ourselves no matter what we've done in our past. We can't hold on to the guilt, the shame. And who brings that out? If you know you've been forgiven, do you believe that? All your past sins forgiven? We there? I hope we're on the same page. So when I start feeling guilty for something I did 40 years ago, where does that come from? Satan. Trying to prove me unworthy. I'm on a text group with a group of guys, and one of the guys texted a week or two ago and said, you know, I've never cussed anybody out, and I never stolen anything, and he's kind of going through this list, and we're kind of walking through this first, and I'm going, I mean, immediately Satan said, you've stolen, you've been drunk, you've cussed people out, you've done drugs, and he started down this list with me and says, you're not worthy to even be on the same text with these people. That's not from God. That's from Satan. Satan trying to condemn me and tell me I'm ineffective when Jesus is saying, I've forgiven you and you've moved past that. Our pride gets in the way and we don't want to accept God's forgiveness. God's word is not definitive. When I finally was reached this one guy, I was trying to share with him and he said, God can't forgive me. And I said, then I'm asking you. Darrell, I'm going to ask you to say this to me. I've read you in 5 different places in Scripture that God says he forgives you. You says he won't. So will you please say to God what you're saying to me, that God's a liar? Well, I'm not going to say that. And I said, he lied in the book because he said he forgave you. You sit here and tell me that God's a liar. Well, I would never do that. That's disrespectful to God. Then why won't you accept what the book says? I know you don't feel it. I'm not going to argue that point with you, but it's true. God's word has to be definitive. And then low self-worth, misplaced identity, I don't deserve to be forgiven. We get in all these situations where we just can't forgive ourselves. So how do we forgive someone? First of all, as obvious as this is a step me and we often forget, we have to pray. When am I at my best? When the Holy Spirit is the one guiding my words, guiding my steps, and guiding what I do. So help to forgive as I've been forgiven. Recall Christ's forgiveness of your sins. When I get to that point that I don't want to forgive somebody, I really do reflect that. I go back and God thankfully brings it to my mind and says, I forgave you. You want me to go back through your list of where everything I've forgiven you for? Because we're going to be here a few years or decades if you want me to do that. I've forgiven you. And I reflect back on that and I go, you're right, God. And you ask nothing in return. You forgave me. So the free method. Face the truth. First of all, guys, when someone has hurt you, be honest, someone has hurt you. It's one of the things I love about the Psalms. When David was angry at God, does David go, okay, God, I'm going to pretend like I'm not angry at you because I think it's a sin to be angry at you, so I'm just going to pretend I'm not angry. Is that what we're reading in the Psalms? Or do we see God shaking his, David shaking his fist at God at times saying, I'm angry. Why are these things happening? So own the situation. Don't deny the situation happened. Face the truth of the situation. Number two, release the hurt to God. And you literally have to do that. God, I'm hurt. You know I'm hurt, but I'm giving you that hurt because that if I don't release this hurt, I'm not going to be able to impact the kingdom today. And that's how important this is. So face the truth, release the hurt, entrust justice to God, like we've been talking about. God knows best how to deal with people, not me. I've got to entrust them to God. And if it's yourself you struggle with forgiving, God knows how to deal with you better. So hand yourself to God and entrust yourself to God, to the justice of God. And then go back through those passages of promises where he says, if you'll turn to me, I will forgive you, and your sin will be removed from you. And then exalt Christ, because that's the key. And if one thing God's been hammering in my head for the last 2 years is be on guard, the enemy's going to try to bring things into your life to stop the effectiveness of your ministry, whatever that is. And it's going to be things that look really important that you need to go deal with. But when I realized, it's been a while back, when I realized I had spent 2 weeks dealing with something over here that I should have just let go of, in 2 weeks of not doing ministry, I felt like I owed God 2 weeks of payback because I had gotten caught up over here trying to fix something that wasn't mine to fix instead of exalting Christ, getting my focus back on him, and saying, God, what's next? The kingdom's too important. I can't get hung up in not forgiving people. I can't get hung up in trying to fix people that only you can fix. I can't fix them. I can pray for them. I need to do all those things, but I can't forgive. I can't fix that person. So exalting Christ. And so my question for you, and I'll put the screen back up there to talk around your tables, is where in this free process do you struggle the most? Do you struggle? I don't want to face the truth. I just want to pretend like I can forget it and stuff it and move on. I face the truth, but I'm not going to release the hurt. I'm going to forgive you, but I'm really not going to ever like you again. I'm not going to ever forget what you did to me. So releasing the hurt, do you struggle in trusting that justice to God, really believing God will take care of that? Or do you struggle with, I do some of those, but my focus is not on Christ. My focus is still somewhere on the hurt. So around your tables, I would just love for y'all to talk. Where do you struggle most in this process, in this free process? Okay, guys, if you don't mind, I'd love to see by raising hand. How many of you say what I struggle with the most in forgiveness is the first one, face the truth? Okay. How many of y'all have released the hurt? Okay. How about entrust justice to God? Yeah. And then exalting Christ. Or how many of you say, I haven't gotten that far because I got hung up on the first three up here? Okay. Yeah. You know, this is an important topic. It's something we take lightly, you know. But forgiveness, we were just chatting at our table that you forgive someone who's shocked by your forgiveness, they're going to ask you, why are you forgiving me? And you got an open door to share the gospel with them. You got an open door, if it's a Christian, to say, you know what, here's why, because I really believe this, and I'm going to encourage you to walk the same way. And I really believe we set the tone for our houses. Our ability to forgive will set the tone for how our house forgives. And it's that important, guys, that we get this right. And it's also how we, unfortunately, you know, as being the dads, how we show forgiveness is sometimes how our kids will approach Jesus and his forgiveness. And if our forgiveness is always conditional, they're going to have a hard time believing that God has an unconditional love for them and an unconditional forgiveness for them. And so it's that important. I just want to remind you of a couple of things. We have tailgate Saturday, 3 o'clock. We'll be in the back parking lot. We're going to have the Hispanic Ministries making tacos or some kind. We have hot dogs. We'll have the chili cook-off. Our Trail Life team's making a couple of they're doing it the old. They're actually building a fire, getting cast iron skillets out and Dutch ovens and making chili the old-fashioned way. I'm making mine in a crock pot or an Instapot, but, you know, but we're going to have a fun time looking for. It's a secret that no one can know. But I'll have no trouble forgiving you if all of you will show up and vote for mine over Randy Roeder's. I will have no problem. No, I'm kidding. We really wanted to do this just to have fun. There's times that we get so busy, we don't slow down and have fun. So I just encourage you to come. We're going to have a couple of bounce houses for your kids, the playground. We'll have cornhole. We'll have washers. I don't know what all we're going to have. But it's going to be, you know, 3 hours of fun, and then we can go into the gym and watch the game. And so I just really encourage you to be here. And then really encourage you Sunday morning when we're going to talk about Sunday morning about getting the game. And again, wear your favorite uniforms or your favorite team colors. And Philip's going to share with us about what it means to get in the game. We have a lot of ministry going on in this church, but I was reminded this week, we're still having to limit what we can do because we don't have enough workers. And that breaks my heart. And so this isn't something neat. We just decide, hey, let's have a get in the game. This is serious. This will impact the kingdom of not of how we come Sunday morning and listen to the Holy Spirit tell us and how we lead our families then about getting into the game of impacting the kingdom of God. It's a serious thing that we're doing, and I'm watching it from my vantage point of we're still struggling doing some things because we don't have enough workers. And so I hope you do have your phone set or your alarm set to pray every day at 10:02. It has yet gone off at a convenient time, but it has yet not gone off when other people were around and I had the opportunity to share with them what I was doing. And so I think that's neat, so I encourage you to do that. So let me pray, and then I'll let y'all can fellowship around your tables, and then we'll get on with our day. So, Father, again, I just stop and just amazed at your forgiveness of me. Father, you took a young man at 15 who was destructive and not doing things that I should be doing, and you said, I love you anyway, and I forgive you of all those things. And you've taken that young man and watched me fall on my face and do bad things and do stupid things over the 40-plus years since then, and you said, I took care of that on the cross. You're my child. Father, may I never forget what you did for me. And Father, may I never not exhibit that to other people, that I'll take the forgiveness you've given me, and that way I can forgive anyone, and I can forgive anything, because, Father, I'm going to follow your pattern. And may I, in the forgiving of others, always point them back to you, and that the reason I can forgive is because I'm forgiven, and I walk with you. Thank you so much for that. I just pray you'll give us strength today. And, Father, I do pray you'll show in our hearts through the next few days, if there's unforgiveness that we've stuffed so far back we don't even know is there, that you will bring it to light so that we can deal with this and get on about your work. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.